Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. That's quite a story we read in Mark, isn't it? It's actually a story within a story. And those two incidents are related to one another. How do we know that? Well, I'll offer one reason, the number 12, which is the number of years that the woman suffered from hemorrhaging, and the daughter of Jairus was 12 years old. Numbers were important in ancient Hebrew culture. The Bible would not have mentioned that if we weren't supposed to notice it. But what else ties these two people together? Faith. The faith of Jairus and the faith of the woman with the hemorrhage. Now, both of these people would have been seen as outsiders of no consequence. Sorry, young people, but children are often not listened to. And the woman with the hemorrhaging was seen as impure. If one touched her, one would be defiled. And so she was shunned by society. But the father of the girl, Jairus, and the woman both had faith in Jesus. And God is looking for relationships with each and every one of us. The faith makes a difference. Now, I'll talk about faith healing in a few moments. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not a big proponent of it, a believer in it. But I will tell you this, that Jesus wants us to show faith in him. It's that simple. The leader of the synagogue was a position of some prominence in his community. He was essentially a civic celebrity. And he was willing to risk his reputation by following Jesus. He'd heard about Jesus. The word had gotten out about Jesus, and Jairus decided that he was going to place his faith in him. And the woman with the hemorrhaging, we don't know much about her, other than she had some money, and she spent all of it on medical treatment. And she had nothing left. She had no hope. And so she got it in her head that if she touched Jesus' robe, she would be healed. And lo and behold, what happens? She pushes through the crowd, probably annoying a lot of people, touches Jesus' robe, and she's healed. Now, one of the questions we may ask is, why doesn't Jesus heal every sick person? Why doesn't Jesus raise from the edge of death every sick child? They don't teach me the answers to that question in divinity school. That's not the way God works. It would be great in some ways if Jesus came and cured all of our ailments, made all of us better, banished all of the demons we're fighting. If Jesus prevented us from engaging in every bad habit we like. But there's a price to that. Say goodbye to your free will. Say goodbye to what makes you you. And God has entrusted each of us with the ability to make decisions and to choose. And by the way, God has also given us brains. So think about the treatments we seek for ailments that we have. So I don't think this is a big news to everyone, but I take high blood pressure medication. And I got that through my doctor. And I talked to my doctor, I also had to moderate my eating and what I drink. And one could say, yeah, that's a miracle. but it's also the way God works. God works through each and every one of us. Now, yesterday we had a funeral here at the church, and imagine every single seat in the pews was filled, on the floor and up in the balcony. You don't see that often here, do you? But that was a community that came together to support the family of the deceased and to show their love for that deceased woman. They had faith that their community could support them. That's what the church is about, the faith we have in one another. So if you were Jairus, what would you do? Would you have sought Jesus out in the hope that this wandering teacher would be able to bring healing to your daughter? Would you have been willing to risk people talking about you? And notice how Jesus has told after the healing that the people present were not supposed to talk about it. Jesus wasn't ready to go public. And yes, this would have been a great story to spread. Except Jesus would then not have had any time to teach because he would have been busy doing faith healings. So the word about faith healings. I believe in the power of prayer. And I know we have members of the congregation who believe in the power of prayer. And that's good. But I do not believe that any minister, any functionary of God, has the power to heal your illness. I'm not going to be able to relieve you of your cancer. I'm not going to be able to make your heart condition go away. I'm not going to be able to make a lame person walk. And yes, I know there have been stories of this happening. But they're stories. And people will prey on the gullible. So yesterday we talked about a young woman who died. And she was young, 51 years old. And her death was sudden. A cardiac event. And we read from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. And I'm sure you're all familiar with that passage. There is a time to this and that. Ecclesiastes is basically one big question. What is the purpose of life? Why is this happening? And guess what? There isn't a clear-cut answer. God has put us on this earth to love one another and to serve one another. God has put us on this earth to take care of one another. So I'm going to do that old Protestant preacher trick. I'm going to give you an assignment after the sermon. And I'm going to tell you to go and take care of one another. And a really good example of that is the refreshments that were put on for us today. Corinne and Bart were taking care of their community. Thank you. There are a number of you who serve on committees here. Thank you. There are a number of you who volunteer in the wider community. Thank you. Those are all acts of worship. Notice how Jesus doesn't say you need to do this thing and that thing and say this prayer and pray in this way for me to offer you healing. It was the woman's faith that enables her to heal. Now, I thank God I don't have cancer or any really serious disease. But I would hope that through prayer, I can at least get a handle on dealing with it. I don't want to be psychologically damaged, living in fear, worrying about dying. And some of you may remember there was an episode of The Twilight Zone, and yes, I'm wandering off to pop culture here, but in this episode, I think it was William Shatner who actually played the man in the diner who found this essentially game on the table where he could put a quarter in and it would tell him what was going to happen next. And it turned out that this machine was actually frighteningly good at predicting what was going to happen next. And the man at that table had to decide whether he was going to live his life in thrall to revelations about his future, or if he was just going to go out and live his life, come what may. There is no predicto machine for us. I cannot tell you what is going to happen to you tomorrow. I cannot tell you what's going to happen to you this afternoon. Are you okay with that? It's a beautiful day. There's a lot for us to be grateful for. Have faith, just a little faith. It will get you far. And if your faith is waning, if it is ebbing, think about these stories of people who had faith, of woman whose life was restored to her, who was able to imagine getting together with her friends and her family, and of a father whose fears about his daughter's death were set aside. That faith carried Jairus and the hemorrhaging woman far. And that faith will carry us far too. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you this day for the gift of faith. And we know that sometimes our faith may be strong and other times it may ebb. But we know that in every situation, you will be with us. Help us to remember that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.